Amen. That comes straight out of the book of Hebrews that Brother Heath read from, and I just read through Hebrews this week, and that's pretty exciting stuff. Amen. They did all that other stuff all those years, and not one sin was taken away. But Jesus, once and for all, hallelujah. Oh, don't you feel His presence here this morning? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Could you turn in your Bibles to two places, Old Testament, Genesis 22, New Testament, Gospel of John, chapter 1. Genesis 22, Gospel of John, chapter 1. Also, I want to announce this morning that though it's communion, it will be applicable, but though it's communion, we're going to begin the series Knowing Jesus Through His Names. If you'll remember, at Christmas time, we took a break from knowing God through His names, and I covered the names of Jesus associated with His birth, and then we went back to knowing God through His names. But we are entering in knowing Jesus through His names. Something else. I'm going to bend my head in a moment to read Scripture, and I've already had so many people ask, I'm just going to tell you, okay? It's math. Math happened to me. I'm working in a basement that's 6'2", and I'm 6'3", so you do the math. That's what happened. Amen. Get a bulletin. There's a lot of things happening this week, starting tomorrow night with Elijah and Elisha and other things that you want to be a part of. Get a bulletin and stay abreast of those things. I mean, could you stand all over the building? And before we read, shake two or three people's hands and be friendly. Just look at them, be as friendly as you can. Oh, come on, you can be more friendly than that. You know, from my point of view, you ask some people to be friendly, it's like you just told them they're going to have a root canal. Amen. I'm reading one scripture from the Old Testament, another from the New, and I read these in juxtaposition. I want to lay one beside the other for a particular reason. Let's look at these. Genesis 22, verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And Isaac said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Let's move to the New Testament, John chapter 1. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Isaac asked, Where is the Lamb? And John said, Behold the Lamb. Hallelujah. I want to speak of the name of Jesus this morning. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is His name. Amen. To pray over this message, why don't you just lift your hands one more time and thank God the Lamb has come. Would you thank Him? Oh, what has the Lamb meant to you? What has the Lamb meant to you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, by Your Spirit, make Your Word alive this morning. Make Your Word a living thing in our hearts, our minds, our soul. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, let us feel the moving of the Holy Spirit right now. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Savior and Lord and Master and coming King and Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You can be seated this morning. I'm going to tell you what Google's most asked question was of 2015, and it's going to surprise you. With all their information available, you would think it would be some scientific thing, some political thing, some celebrity thing. But the most asked question on Google last year, according to the searches, was this: What is zero divided by zero. I kid you not. Out of all the questions that could be asked, the most asked question was, what is zero divided by zero? I know that was fueled because of the AI devices on Siri. When you ask that question, he gives, have you ever got set, some ludicrous answers. And so they were extending that curiosity onto Google. But could you imagine that across the world, the most, I mean, if you'd made it through sixth grade, you'd know that. But what is zero divided by zero? But I want to preach this morning or talk about the most important question that has ever been asked in history. Out of all human history, the most important question that was ever asked. And it was asked by a young teenager who, by God's instruction, his father had taken him to a deserted remote mountaintop to offer him as a human sacrifice. And that lad, as they climbed that mountain, said, "Dad, here's the wood. Dad, here's the fire." And then he asked the most important question ever asked. He said, "Where is the lamb?" You read the rest of the Old Testament, and you'll hear that question in many forms and in many ways. Ask again and again, "Where is the lamb?" I want you to fast forward 2,000 years from Isaac time. 2,000 years into the future, which was also 2,000 years ago, moving the opposite direction. I want you to travel a few miles from that remote mountaintop to the Jordan River. And there is a man, he is clothed in camel's hair, and he's got a little bit of honey and a locust leg still stuck in his beard from breakfast. And he's preaching, and the crowd has gathered. And he's preaching, he's shouting things like, "Repent." He's shouting things like, "The axe is laid to the root of the tree." He's shouting things like, "If you really mean it, bring forth fruit of repentance. I mean, this man, he's a really preaching. Folks are listening, and those that listen to his message, this man takes them and he dips them into the Jordan. He baptizes them. Everybody knows. I'm talking about John the Baptist. 2,000 years later, I want you to know it's there in Jordan River that Isaac's question, "Where is the lamb?" gets answered, because it's John preached and it's John baptized. He's scanning the crowd. He's looking up the incline of those barren banks, the ridge on the horizon out into the desert. He's scanning the crowd, looking down the road that leads into Jordan. He's looking for somebody. I said he's looking for somebody. And one day as he was preaching, one day as he was baptizing, all of a sudden excitement came upon his face, and with a booming loud voice, louder than he had ever exclaimed, louder than he ever preached, he looked out across the crowd and he pointed and said, "There he is. Where is the lamb? There he is. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Aren't you glad the question has been answered? I said, aren't you glad the question has been answered? There he is, the Lamb of God. He was pointing at Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, the carpenter. Jesus, born of Mary. Hallelujah. I want you to know, as wonderful as his ministry was, John the Baptist was only the opening of the main act. Hallelujah. John's assignment was simply to prepare people for the coming Messiah and to announce that Messiah when he came. Oh, hallelujah. A great man, none greater than born of women, greater than John the Baptist. But he was only the opening for the one that was to come, the Messiah. Amen. He had been told of God, "Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, the
same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. You're going to know him when he comes. And when you know him, declare to the people that the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Savior, the King has come. But I want you to notice when that moment came to announce the Messiah, John did not call him Lord. John did not call him Messiah. John did not call him Deliverer. John did not call him King, though any of those names and titles would have accurately defined and noted who he was. But when John saw him coming for the first time, he introduced him. He announced him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, why don't you just praise him for a moment? Oh, hallelujah. We fast forward 2,000 years from Isaac to John the Baptist. I want you to fast forward another 2,000 years to today, this morning, 4,000 years after Isaac asked the question, where is the Lamb? 2,000 years after John the Baptist answered the question, there he is. Jesus is the Lamb. But now, 2,000 years later, I want us to admit and concede and confess together. We need the Lamb today just as much as Isaac needed him when he asked the question. We need the Lamb just as much today as John and the people then needed it when John pointed him out and said, he is there. I want to lift a hand this morning to say, I need the Lamb of God today. I need the Lamb of God today. I need his blood. I need his forgiveness. I need his help. Our election cycle has but emphasized how desperately people are looking for a leader, looking for a savior. People are asking in their own odd way, where is the one who will deliver? Where is the one who saves? They're turning to seemingly impossible choices, looking for a deliverer and a savior. Could I say, even in the middle of this political election cycle, John's already identified the savior. John's already pointed him out. The one that we need is the Lamb of God. Why? Because he takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. I want to look at John's statement. First of all, he said, behold. Behold, this doesn't mean just look. This is a look with excitement, a look with enthusiasm, a look with exclamation points. Look, it's like the family driving down the road. And one of them looks out, and right there standing on the edge of the road is a huge buck. That person doesn't say, hey, look out the window. They say, look, 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 look. It's that kind of look. It's that kind of behold. You know, we make a lot of assumptions. Whenever I think of John the Baptist making this announcement, I think of a big, deep, booming voice. Behold the Lamb of God. You look at Abraham Lincoln pre-recording, pre-audio, and you would think, as tall as he was and rugged, he'd have a deep bass voice. He didn't. He had a high tenor voice. But I still can't see John the Baptist saying, I still hear him say, behold the Lamb. But I want you to know, John wasn't saying, look, guys. He is saying, look, 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 look. Oh, hallelujah. Behold, it was an announcement that changed everything. It changed human history. It changed the destiny of man. John's announcement changed your destiny, and it changed my destiny. Oh, I'm telling you, this was the announcement that changed the world and changed eternity. Used to when the prophets spake, they said, hope for the deliverer. They said, think, a about a deliverer. They said, imagine a deliverer. Even, but now it's all been changed. Not to hope for the deliverer, but there he is. He has arrived. He has come. He is here. What you have longed for. Amen. It's like a crowd waiting a celebrity. Amen. Waiting for the arrival of a celebrity. And suddenly the MC or somebody in the crowd says, there he is. The crowd goes wild. They stand, they clap, they holler, they applaud because he has arrived. John announced to that crowd gathered in the Jordan Valley, he said, he has arrived. Oh, could I tell you, it's with no less enthusiasm this morning that I say to you 2,000 years later, behold the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Behold the Lamb of God. John did for that crowd the greatest thing anybody could have done. He pointed their attention. He pointed them to Jesus. He introduced them to Jesus. Let me talk to you Christians on a practical note. The greatest thing you'll ever do for somebody is point out Jesus for them and introduce them to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It'll be the greatest thing, young people, you've ever experienced to be the one to say to somebody, there's your Savior. There's the one that can deliver you. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go on. He said, behold the Lamb. Now, I got to thinking about this. Just think about this. John's standing preaching, and he said, behold the Lamb. Now, these are people used to an agrarian society. I think some of them, at first, not getting it yet, say, big deal. We see sheep all the time. Think about it. They didn't get it at first. As far as they knew, John was pointing to a sheep, an animal. And then they're surprised that as they follow the direction his finger is pointing in, he's not pointing at an animal sheep. He's pointing at a human. He is pointing at a man. Jesus is not, let me just put it back, let me go to John. John is not disillusional in any way. He wasn't saying that Jesus is somehow like the animal, the sheep. What he's saying is Jesus has come to fulfill the same purpose as a sheep in that culture. Everybody in that crowd knew in their culture, in their religion, the sheep had the purpose of dying as a sacrifice in substitute for the person that offered it. In other words, a sheep served the purpose of being the sacrifice for their sins. Amen. It's not that he has wool. We know that. We know that's not the analogy. But when John said, behold the Lamb, he was literally saying, behold the sacrifice. Behold the substitute. Behold the one who has come to take your place. This man that you see walking down the banks of Jordan River, amen, he's going to serve the purpose of shedding his blood, dying a cruel death in your behalf. Amen. They got the illusion, though they did not fully understand its meaning and importance at the time. They still knew what John was alluding to. These were Jews. They knew the story that when they came out of Egyptian bondage, amen, the thing that released them, the ultimate thing, was that God said, I'm going to have my death angel kill every firstborn. If you don't want your firstborn killed, you find a sheep without spot or blemish. You sacrifice that sheep. You put its blood upon the post in the door frame of your house, and that death angel will fly right over, and your firstborn will live. They understood that night not only did their firstborn survive, but they were delivered, set free from Egyptian bondage. And though they had been slaves, they marched out of Egypt free, free, free. They understood that because every year they took a Passover her sheep to celebrate that day when they had been set free from awful bondage. They also understood it because every day, morning and evening, every day, amen, how many days were in their calendar, their lunar calendar, amen, 360 days, every day of their year, amen, morning and evening, the priest took a sheep and slaughtered it on their behalf, shed its blood. They knew about that. They knew about Yom Kippur. They knew about the Day of Atonement when a sheep was killed, its blood was shed for the nation, for all of God's people. They understood something else, and I'll get back to this in just a moment, but they understood that when they had sinned, when they had personally sinned, if Mark had sinned, he got the best lamb that he could, and he took it, leashed it, and he headed for the temple, even to offer that lamb for the sacrifice of his sin. And when he got there, he put his hands upon that lamb so that his sins might be transferred to the lamb, and he slit its throat and killed it. As they understood all of that, they also understood, or the illusion, though they couldn't understand the importance, that the prophet said a suffering servant was coming to suffer for them. Isaiah said he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And the Lord hath put upon him the iniquities of us all. And so when John said, "Behold the Lamb," all these things came rushing at them. Hallelujah. I want you to know, I'm so thankful that we know more than just about the illusion. We know the reality. I said, we know the reality of what the Lamb has come to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Now listen, I'm going to catch my breath and tell you something that disturbs me greatly. You may not be aware of it, but across our land, North America and the world, there has been a theological attack on the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus shed his blood in our place to appease the wrath of God. They're trying to change theology. They're trying to change church beliefs. And they can come up with ever astute reason they may want to give. But I'll tell you what's back of it all. They don't like this thing about the blood. And they're trying to get rid of this blood. Amen. That's what they're trying to do. Amen. They're trying to tell us that Jesus did not come as a sacrifice. Then what in the world was John talking about? Why would he have called Jesus the Lamb? I mean, figure it out any other way. I know they got all these degrees after their names. They've written the books. They've made their lectures. They're trying to say the Lamb is not reference to a sacrifice. I tell them with my little bit of ability, by the authority of the Word, it's not true. It would have made sense any other way, Bill. Amen, Brother Bill, for John to say, "Behold the Lamb." What else could it have meant? It meant only one thing. There's your sacrifice. Oh, I said, there's your sacrifice. Let him change your theology. Let him take there's power in the blood out of the songbook. But I believe the gospel still teaches he was our substitute. He died in our place. He shed his blood that I could still go free. Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He's of God. He's sent from God. He's of God. He's ordained, approved, certified by God. You say, what are you talking about? Remember that time when Mark just got through sinning and he had to take a lamb to the temple? You couldn't take just any old lamb. You had to take the best without spot or blemish, not physically sick, hampered in any way, but to make sure you got one that wasn't sick or flawed. The scripture says you were to pin that lamb up by itself and observe it for a period of days to make sure it wasn't sick. Because there's only one kind of lamb that's going to do and sacrifice for your sin. And it's one without fault, without flaw, without blemish. And so when you watch that lamb and determine that it was pure, and of course the priest checked too, but you were saying, "I approve this lamb for my sake. I certify that it's without spot or blemish." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You didn't have to certify Christ as the flawless lamb. God certified him. In fact, he certified him on that day. Listen to me. Are you with me this morning? John, when John said, "Behold the Lamb," God said, "Yep, that is he, and he's pure, and he's out." How do you know God said that? Because God said from heaven, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I said, he's the spotless lamb. He's been certified by God. It wasn't just God. Even Jesus stood. If he had been one of us, he'd been a fool to say this. He'd been a lunatic. But he looked at his own enemies and he said, I quote, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" Even his enemies had to say the lamb was without blemish. Amen. The demons recognized it. Whenever they recognized Jesus, they called him holy. I said they called him holy. Oh, hallelujah. Judas betrayed him. Amen. But what was Judas' own testimony? He said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Judas said that he was pure, that he was without blemish. Hallelujah. And what did Peter say? Though he denied him, Peter said, "We have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." I said, he's certified by God as the pure. Amen. What does it mean of God? He's sent from God. He's ordained by God. But it means also, his nature is God. The Lamb, which is God. John the writer has already told us that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. He was sent into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And then he said, he's established, the Word is God. Then he said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm telling you, that Lamb was God. I know you're not, but you may be rhetorically asking, what's the big deal that the Lamb was God? I want to tell you why. If Jesus had not been God, but had died on the cross, if he had only been human, his human blood would have exited his body through his wounds, dripped down, soaked into the wood of the cross, soaked into the dust around the cross, and stay there till it rotted, and that would have been it, just human blood. But could I tell you, because the Lamb was God, when the blood exited his wounds, it ran down the cross, it ran across the ground, it ran over a Roman soldier, it ran through the streets of Jerusalem, it ran throughout the Judean countryside. It crossed over the Mediterranean Sea. It coursed through Greece and through Rome. It made its way all the way up to the Gauls and on past to those Celts of England. I'm telling you, because the blood was the blood of the Lamb, which was God, it went around this world. I'll tell you something else it did. It flowed 100 years after the crucifixion. It flowed to 200 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, and the time you got saved, it was the same blood that came out of his wounds and ran down the cross that flowed over your heart and mind and purified and clean. It was the blood of the Lamb that was God. Hallelujah. And the blood, it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows through the deepest valley. It gives me strength. Hallelujah. It shall never, never lose its power. It wasn't just the blood of a human. It was the blood of the man, God, Jesus Christ. Oh, would you praise him for a moment? How many say, I need his blood? Oh. Behold the Lamb of God, here it is, which taketh away the sin. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, somebody ought to be up shouting. Takes away sin. Glory to God. I want to preach just a little bit to you now. But if there'd been no sin, there'd been no need for a lamb. If sin wasn't man's problem, there'd been no need for a lamb. Let's go back to Mark. He sinned again. I want you to think about it. Small village outside Jerusalem. Mark sinned. He gets feeling bad about it. He pins up that lamb. He puts it on a leash. He heads through the streets of the village with that lamb. And guess what? He's just announced to the whole village. I've sinned. Think about it. What if we were still required to do that? What if this morning you drove up to church and popped your trunk, pulled out a lamb, everybody on the parking lot, everybody in the forest, oh, they sinned again. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad we don't have to do that?
Amen.
Let me qualify this first to say it. I believe in sanctification. I don't believe you have to sin every day. But I want to tell you, even though we didn't bring a lamb in our trunk, and even though people didn't see us carry one in to announce that we sin, we come in the same shape this morning that they came to the temple. We have sinned. We've got things wrong with us. We need a lamb. The only good thing is we didn't have to bring one. He's been provided. I want you to remember something in a few minutes. When you hold these elements, you're doing no different than when Mark left his house with that lamb and announced to the village that he was a sinner in the need of the blood of that lamb. You may not like it, but I want you to think about this morning as you hold that little emblematic cup and you hold that little emblematic wafer, you are announcing to everyone in this building, you are announcing to God, I need the lamb. I need the lamb. I need the lamb. Why? Because the purpose of the lamb was to take away the sin of the world. You have no sin. You have no need of the lamb. But if you have sin, you need the lamb. You need the lamb. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Aren't you glad if we confess our sins? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, let's praise the lamb. Hallelujah. If Jesus had not shed his blood, it would do no good to repent this morning. It would do no good to say you're sorry. Your sins would remain. Hallelujah. You see, I don't like what you're preaching. As near as I can tell, I am preaching the message of the gospel, which said sin is our problem, but we cannot remove sin from us, and we cannot remove us from sin. We can't get rid of it. We can say we're sorry, and the sin remains, but the gospel said that we could not get rid of our sins, that we could not get clean of our sins. The Lamb of God came and he took our sins away. I said he took our sins away. He bore them to the cross where the ordinances, the law against us was nailed to the cross. Hallelujah. You don't have to leave here. Amen. With that thing, the guilt of that thing you've done wrong, it's been nailed to the cross. He took my sins away. Where did he take them? To cast them in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Against that day. Hallelujah. How many can say it this morning? He took my sins away. We used to sing that. He took my sins away. And keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad he took my sins away. You say that's redundant. Well, so are a lot of modern songs. But I kind of like the sound of it. He took my sins away. Go ahead, try it. Just say it right now. He took my sins away. Come on, let me hear you. Oh, come on, one more time. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You say, why are you getting so excited about that? Hallelujah. How would you like to live the rest of your life knowing that you were still guilty and condemned for the things you've done wrong? How many it's over the age of youth, you don't have to lift your hand, but how many glad you don't have to still to this day knowing you're still guilty of the sins of your youth? How many like to live the rest of your life knowing that you're headed to hell because God must judge your sin? Would you like to live that way? Aren't you glad we can live without condemnation? There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Not because we live good, but because He took our sins away. Hallelujah. He took the guilt of our sins. He took the condemnation of our sins. He took the weight of our sin. And He took the penalty of our sin. He took the judgment of our sin. Oh, hallelujah. He took my sins away. Why are you getting excited about that? Because we flirted with Hebrews all morning. But let me show you just one thing from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. You almost got there, Brother Heath. Verse 4. Listen to this. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats, it's not possible that they should do what? Take away sins. Verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take sins away. They did it as God instructed. They sinned. They took the sacrifice. Millions of animals were slaughtered. Blood ran on a constant basis. And yet when they left that tabernacle, they left their temple. It was only a temporary relief. Their sins had only, the account of their sins had only been rolled ahead for another year. Why? Because it's not possible that the blood of an animal in my place can take away my sins. But when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," that's not just another lamb. That's not an animal. That is God in the flesh. It was not possible that the millions of gallons of blood that was shed from the animals could take away our sin. But you let one drop of the blood of the Lamb of God come upon a heart, it'll take away the vilest sins. Oh, I know. Yes, I know. Jesus' blood. Oh, come on, church. Jesus' blood can make the vilest. We have no other gospel. You take this away, we have nothing to preach. Amen. He took our sins away. Last of all, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of Israelites." The sins of Jerusalem. The sins of Judea. The sins of the Caucasian, the sins of the Semitic, the sins of those that lived 100 years ago. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins, say it with me, of the world. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If you're wanting just self-esteem, this may not excite you. But if you want to know, no matter how bad you've sinned, how wrong you have done, how wicked you've been, He shed that blood to forgive your sins. And true to the song, there's greater sins than that beneath the blood. That's not real accurate. They're not belief just beneath the blood. They're washed away by the blood. They're taken away by the blood. Oh, hallelujah. The record in Scripture was progressive. First, God provided a lamb for one man. Get this, for one man. Isaac said, "Where is the lamb?" Abraham said, "God will provide Himself a lamb." And in the bush, God provided one lamb for one man. Then we learned, as they got ready to go out of Egypt, there's also a lamb for a house. Moses said, "Get your family, and if it's too small, get the neighbor in there. But get your family in the house, put the blood, kill the lamb, put the blood, and there is a lamb for a house." And then through the Day of Atonement and later through the prophecies, we learned that not only is there a lamb for a man and a lamb for a house, there's a lamb for a nation. Israel, that lamb, take away, it represents the taking away of your sin. Oh, isn't that wonderful? A lamb for a man, and a lamb for a household, and a lamb for a nation. But when John made the announcement, he took it one step further. Oh, he said, not only is there a lamb for a man, and a lamb for a household, and a lamb for an, he said, there's a lamb for the world. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I know there's different time zones, but China, Africa, Alaska, South America, amen, South Africa, amen, all across this world, there are folks gathering today and partaking of communion to say, truly, he was the Lamb for the world. Oh, I said, hallelujah. Curse the spirit that says only folks just like me can be saved. He died for all people, all men, every ethnicity, every educational background, every economic background. Oh, aren't you glad he's the Lamb for the world? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the lamb or the sins of the world. Hallelujah. But now that we've progressed, we got to take it backwards and realize we must personify it. I'm just as close to being done, but get this little other thing from Scripture. It's not by accident. It's important. We're looking at Exodus chapter 12. When Moses first gave instruction about this Passover lamb, please watch with me and catch this. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, speaking unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a what? Can you see it there? What comes before the lamb? A lamb. A lot of lambs out there, but just a lamb. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Verse 4. And if the house will be too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor, see, once it's taken, it's not a lamb, it's the lamb. Next into his house, take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Then verse 6, you read it for me, what? Your lamb. You might have just heard of Jesus and think, well, that's just another religion. That's just another so-called Savior. You're just still calling him a lamb. That's why it burdened my heart when even preachers today of mega churches on national television says, well, you know, Jesus, you know, he's a way and it works for me. You've got to move beyond him being a lamb and a way. Once that lamb was taken, it became the lamb because it was the one that was going to die. And could I say, of all the other religions and saviors, Jesus is the only one that died for your sins. He is the Lamb. But you must take it one step further. When they got ready to kill that thing, and its blood was going to be applied to the door frame of their house, it wasn't just a lamb, and it wasn't just the lamb. It was your lamb. Or in their voice, it was my lamb. Oh, that's where the Holy Spirit wants to take you. This thing about Jesus, that's something to think about. He's a lamb. Oh, I begin to think about it. I've heard what John said. He's not just a lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away this. But the Holy Spirit's still dealing with me, Brother Richie. And all of a sudden, I get it. The Lamb is my lamb. I said, the Lamb is my Lamb. I want to tell somebody this morning, you think you cannot be saved. You think your sins are too great. But I want you to know you can be aware of something this morning if you allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you. The Lamb that John talked about is your Lamb. How many remembers the day when it came clear to you that the Lamb was my Lamb? Oh, hallelujah. Music comes so I can quit. You say, well, after the cross, we're through with the slam thing. Amen. Christianity has outgrown it. I'm just going to read this to you. But I want you to know by the book of Revelation, we're not done with the Lamb. Amen. I began to read through it this week 27 times in Revelation. Jesus is referred to as the Lamb. One, that's one third of the uses of the Lamb throughout the whole body are found in Revelation. So we're not through with the Lamb. I said we're not through with the Lamb. Think of heaven. Think of eternity. Let me just give you a quick summary. The Lamb is the one that sits in the center of heaven on the throne in the midst of all the attention and worship. The Lamb was the only one worthy to open the book. The Lamb is the one that broke the seals. The Lamb is the one that poured out His wrath on the unbelieving. The Lamb is the one that with His blood, I'm talking scripture now, I'm not quoting them, but I'm telling you what it says. The Lamb with His blood, He washed the garments of the believers whiter than snow. The Lamb is the one who feeds His people, leads His people, and who will one day wipe away their tears. The Lamb is the one that causes us to overcome by His blood and the word of our testimony. The Lamb is the song that is forever sung in heaven. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. The church is called the Lamb's wife. And the celebration that we have is called the marriage of the Lamb. The Lamb is the temple of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Behold the Lamb.
I end with this. But as a middle teenage boy, very few times I heard the old man of God way up in years. Sister Deb, I don't know who I'm talking about. Way up in years, preach. And every once in a while, many times when it was quiet, he would let out with, "Praise God and the Lamb forever." Amen. Hearing him so few times, I don't know why it stuck. But every once in a while, usually when things begin to get a little quiet, I have those very words well up in my heart. Praise God and the Lamb forever. Amen. I want you to imagine with me. You weren't there at the Jordan River. But one day, if you're washed in the blood, Brother John, one day we're going to step through those pearly gates. Going to be a little overwhelming, all those sights that you read about, all that crowd, all that, it's going to be a little overwhelming, the brilliance of the light. Amen. But if he got to do it 2,000 years ago, why should we not believe he's going to do it then? Amen. Brother Jerry, you step through heaven's gates, and there's a man there whose white robe suspiciously looks like camel's hair. And he can see you and me, and Brother Mark's a little befuzzled by all the sights and all the brilliance. But that man walks up and says, "I know who you're looking for, amen. Brother Mark.
Amen.
Behold the Lamb that took away your sin." Let's worship the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Praise God and the Lamb forever. Hallelujah. Would you come, servers, as we prepare for this communion service? Only Jesus can take away our sin. But if you're here, please hear me. Here's my instruction. If you're here and you've not made the Lamb your Lamb at any time, but particularly at the end of this communion, come and kneel at these steps we use as an altar. He can be your Lamb before you leave this house. We'll pray with you.
Sure.
to the old rugged cross. I believe that the Christ who was slain on the tree has the power to change lives today.
And the old rugged cross.
Could you stand across the building? I know the human heart, and I know our enemy. And even since you've held these elements, some of you have asked the Lord to forgive some things in your life. And you've heard the enemy say, you're not forgiven. Didn't do no good to ask that. I want you to know something. If you ask, he took your sins away. Hallelujah. All through preparing, I kept hearing this. I'm going to share it. We're going to pray and receive this. But I kept hearing, and I just got to go ahead and say it. We're living in a time when some folks are cutting themselves because of the anguish and the pain of their heart. But I'm going to tell you this morning, you don't have to cut yourself. He was cut for you. He's the Lamb. I want you to do something. Together, we're going to thank the Lord for the elements today. We're not going to pray individually. We'll partake in a moment together. But I want you to lift the elements towards heaven and say, thank you for taking my sins away. Could you? Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for taking my sins away. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's partake of the bread together. Oh, hallelujah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let's partake of the cup together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. You didn't have to come, but you did. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 If you can say your sins are gone, would you worship him across the building? Hallelujah. If you're here, you'd like your sins to be taken away. I want to invite you right now to come to these steps. We use as an altar. And I can tell you, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed and his resurrection, you can ask him to forgive you and he'll take away your sin. Amen. Amen. Amazing grace. Hallelujah. We're going to sing as we customarily do, Amazing Grace. And if you need your sins taken away, would you come and kneel on this altar? We'll pray with you today. Amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound that saved. Not a person here didn't have sins that had to be taken away. Oh, but now, do you need him this morning? Do you need your sins forgiven? Do you need your heart cleansed? Sing the first verse one more time. Amazing grace. Do you need your sins forgiven? Would you like to come and be free of sin? Free of the guilt? Free of the penalty? Hallelujah. Oh, saved. Saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not saying you wouldn't, but with as much sincerity as you can, one more time, I want you to thank Jesus for being the Lamb that took away your sin. Amen. Could you do that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you died in my place. Thank you that you shed your blood. You who knew no sin, you became sin that I might become the righteousness of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know our enemy doesn't like us to get excited about the blood.
But there's nothing else that can take away sin. Nothing else that can give the hope of forgiveness. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Oh, one more time. Praise God and the Lamb forever. And we will praise Him forever. I said we will praise the Lamb forever. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Greet one another. Love one another. Come early and pray. Let's have church tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord.